Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart and Soul Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. I'm Jory Fisher, your host, and joining me today, December 1st, 2010, is my very purposeful guest, Susan Whitcomb, who will discuss with us getting over the yes buts, how to stop settling for the status quo, and start living your life with heart and soul. Susan, how are you doing today?
Jory, I am filled with gratitude and thrilled to be back with you again.
Oh, well, it's such a pleasure to have you, and just look forward to what you have to say to all of us. I'd like to extend an especially warm welcome to you, Susan, and to those who are listening to Heart and Soul for the first time today. We hope you'll consider doing three things to help us spread the word about this radio show. Number one, mark Heart and Soul a favorite by clicking on the little red heart on our Blog Talk Radio show page. Number two, tweet this episode either from our show page or directly from my website, womenfindpurpose.com. And or three, add the Blog Talk Radio player for Heart and Soul directly to your website or blog. My co-host, Bess Gonzani, and I are excited to announce, Susan, that we've had over 5,000 listens to this broadcast since we began in March, and we thank you for your encouragement and for your support. Well, Susan,
beautiful.
Would you please, thank you,
yeah,
would you please say
great.
A few words about what you'd like to talk about today?
Sure. So our title is The Yes Buts, and that's sort of a lighthearted look at some of the subtle or even self-sabotaging things that get in the way of us living lives of success and significance.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll frame those in the context of the yes buts. You know, it might be the yes, but I don't have enough time to exercise, or yes, but I don't have a nest egg or money to start that small business that I've always dreamed of, or yes, but I'm too old to make a career change at this age. So there are just so many, and so we're going to look at those and figure out ways to get around them.
Love that. Well, thank you. And before we launch into your introduction and interview, I just want to tell everybody a bit about Beth and me, as well as the context and format for our show. So my co-host is Beth Gonzani, and she hopes she'll be able to call in today. Beth is a life, leadership, true purpose, and dream coach from Rockport, Massachusetts, with a corporate background in human resources. I'm a career, calling, and true purpose coach from Lynchburg, Virginia, with a background in law, academia, and Christian ministry. Beth and I are both very passionate about helping people discern their life purpose and are professionally trained and highly skilled in doing so. We work with individuals and groups by telephone and in person. For more information about our services, you may email Beth at bessgonzani@aol.com or me through my website, womenfindpurpose.com. Our vision for Heart and Soul is to create a place, number one, where you can be inspired, encouraged, and supported by people who are making a meaningful difference in their own lives and in the lives of others, and number two, where you can gain some insight into your life purpose and how you can express that unique life purpose to the fullest. Our motivation for hosting Heart and Soul is our deep desire to fulfill and express our respective life purposes, which includes helping you discover who you are and how you're meant to use your gifts and talents in the world around you. Each week, we offer a purposeful topic for discussion, usually by way of a guest interview, coaching suggestions and quotes to help you experience and integrate the information our guests have generously shared, and Beth and my own reflections on purpose, passion, and perseverance. At the end of each show, we give you a brief preview of next week's episode of Heart and Soul. You can listen to our shows live by calling 1-347-326-9296 at 12 noon Eastern each and every Wednesday. To listen live online or to listen to any of our archived on-demand shows, go to blogtalkradio.com, type Jory Fisher, J-O-R-Y-F-I-S-H-E-R, in the search box, and click on the show you wish to hear. You can also download each show as an MP3 or to iTunes directly from our Heart and Soul show page on blogtalkradio.com. During Susan's interview, I'll monitor the chat room and phones to see if you have any questions or comments that you'd like me to relay to our guest on air. Please note that you do have to register with Blog Talk Radio first if you wish to participate in the chat room. You can do that from the blogtalkradio.com homepage. Also, if you wish to ask a question or make a comment by phone, press 1 to raise your hand, and I will try to call on you, time permitting. So now it is my pleasure to introduce my friend, colleague, and mentor, Susan Whitcomb. Susan is the award-winning author of 7 career books, including Resume Magic, Interview Magic, Job Search Magic, 30-Day Job Promotion, The Christian's Career Journey, and the Twitter Job Search Guide. The respected authority on career training and certification, Susan is founder of the Academy's Coach Training Organization, and that's theacademies.com, including Career Coach Academy, Job Search Academy, and Christian Coach Academy, where hundreds, myself included, have earned their certifications in career coaching, job search strategy, Twitter, and branded career communications. Susan's passion is equipping career professionals with the competencies and confidence to make a living doing what they love. Mm-hmm. Susan, am I close to describing who you are and what you do? Is there anything you'd like to add to that introduction?
Oh, thank you, Jory. Simply that I see far too many people losing sight of the significant impact that they were meant to make in this world, myself included some days. And it's just a humble honor to get to walk with others in that process of really uncovering their divine destiny.
Exactly. Wonderful. I'm glad you said that. And before we dive into this interview, I just want to mention that my October 2009 interview, Susan, it's been over a year, of Susan Whitcomb on Mistakes Job Seekers Make may be found at my website, womenfindpurpose.com. So if you're interested in that topic, Mistakes Job Seekers Make, just go to womenfindpurpose.com. You can plug that in or Susan's name into the search box on my website and then go to that interview, October 2009. So for those of you who are listening live, please type your comments or questions in our chat room after registering with Blog Talk Radio or press 1 to speak with us on the phone. Susan, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Well, the title of this has yes buts in it. What exactly do you mean when you say yes buts?
You know, I think we've all heard ourselves say those two little words, and they're the things that we say to ourselves that keep us from living lives of glorious significance and success and satisfaction. And it's often very valid sounding excuses or reasons that we give ourselves, or perhaps some other person is telling us. You know, you've heard somebody say, yes, but you can't do that because whatever it might be. And we end up settling for the status quo instead of, again, aiming for a life of just supreme significance. And I think that's what this conversation is really all about, is and that's what you and Beth are doing with your program, and I love it. And it's about living lives of purpose.
Right.
And intention and significance. So I'd love for our listeners, as this discussion unfolds, to be thinking about a few questions. And here are a couple of questions to kind of frame this whole conversation in. You know, what is the dream that you have put on the back burner? What's your secret wish, or even not so secret wish, that would change dramatically the way that you live or work? And heaven forbid, if life ended tomorrow, what regrets might you have? And then if you look at that, those regrets, and you think about them, if you were to live a life with no regrets,
yeah,
what would you notice that would change immediately? And what would living that sort of a life with no regrets bring to you personally and those that you love?
Wow.
So those are important questions to really kind of set the stage for this discussion around the yes buts.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, I think, just as humans, we're built to have hope. And we've got to get that proverbial carrot in front of us, because if we don't, we end up dying. So whether it be that you create your vision board or you answer some of these powerful questions,
yeah,
or, you know, look at looking into the future is really an important place to start before we start looking at the yes buts.
That's right. And would you be kind and repeat those questions again for those of us who are writing them down?
Sure. So here's a couple. I'll try and get them similarly to what I said.
Sure.
So what's the dream you've put on the back burner?
Okay.
What's your secret wish, or even not so secret wish, that would change dramatically the way you live or work? And again, heaven forbid, live if life ended tomorrow, what regrets might you have? And then turning that around, if you were to live a life with no regrets, what would you notice that would change dramatically? And what would living that life of no regrets bring to you and to those you love?
Wonderful. Thank you. Those are terrific coaching questions.
Mm-hmm.
And those you love. Excellent. Yeah, I like what you said about the vision board as well. I remember this would have been January 2009, Susan, when you and I were first starting to get to know each other, and you had me come up with those index cards, the little,
yeah,
the small group that we were in.
A great
and, you
exercise.
Know, they, I was looking at them just on Monday, and I pulled them out, and it included, of course, things that we wanted to do, and then we were, what our visions were, and the time frame. You asked us to give a time frame of, like, okay, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, and oh my goodness, the things that have come to pass. Including, I remember one of them for me was being a guest on a radio show. And here now I've been hosting a radio show for a year and a half. So I was like, wow.
That is so powerful. That exercise was adapted from a book called, mm-hmm, Falling Awake. So I'm sure some of your readers might, or listeners might be interested in that. Falling Awake by Dave Ellis. And it's just a beautiful,
yes,
book,
yes,
around creating the life that you are meant to live.
Absolutely, and thank you for giving the attribution. I couldn't remember his name.
Sure.
So thank you. Well, let's talk to us a little bit about how does somebody know, you referred to it as a disease in the episode description, which I thought was,
yeah,
cute. How does somebody know if they have a case of the yes buts?
Yeah, if they've got, as my daddy used to say, the golly wobbles.
Oh my gosh, that's cute.
Kind of just a little phrase for, you know, I'm just not feeling quite right. Okay, I think that there are three general signs that we can watch for, and this may be not a complete list, but just as a starting point. First,
all right,
there's a sense of frustration that's sustained over a period of time, and it's not just, mm-hmm, a situational sort of a thing. And that frustration can be things where you just notice that, gee, I'm just not as patient as I normally am, I'm yelling at the kids, I want to kick the dog.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that there's a growing frustration with coworkers or a boss or a situation at work. It could be a frustration, again, sustained, continued over the size of your paycheck or opportunities for advancement. But there's just sort of that sense of dis-ease. Second, another sign would be that there's a sense of resignation. Thoreau said, of course, the mass of men, or women in this case, lead lives of quiet desperation. And
yeah,
I think that's kind of that resignation. When you hear yourself saying, it doesn't matter, it's always going to be this way, things will never change. And when you start hearing that talk inside your head, just be, I would say, start by being aware.
Mm-hmm.
Start by being aware. So frustration, resignation. And then a third, I think, maybe warning sign is that there's an emptiness or there's a sadness in our lives. And we might hear ourselves thinking, is this all there is? And as we look at that emptiness or that sadness, I think that's also another clue to be thinking, what is it that's missing? So many times we're not living in accordance with our values, and I think not just our values, but who we're meant to be. If we're
right.
we're living a lesser life, there is going to be a sense of emptiness.
How true. Absolutely. Okay, great. So those would be clues that mm-hmm. we have a case of the yes buts, right?
Right.
Okay, so if those are clues, Susan, what are the results of living with the yes buts?
The results probably are going to be different for a lot of people, and so I don't know that there's one specific answer. I can certainly toss out a number of ideas, but I think more than anything, there's probably a sense of just not living in a way that you just feel an enthusiasm and an engagement with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not enthused, when you're not engaged, when you're not feeling like you're contributing in some way, then it cycles back to those things like the frustration and the resignation and the emptiness.
Mm-hmm. They feed off of each other, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Okay, so those results could be reflected in personal and professional life, I would imagine.
Right. It starts impacting our relationships and the degree of intimacy, I think, that we can have, and with perhaps spouses, partners, children, parents, friends, colleagues, neighbors, just really infuses all areas of our life. Nobody wins.
And something just came to mind, Susan, and I don't understand all of the medicine behind it all, but or the physiological aspects of it, but I'm thinking of addiction. And we had a friend of mine be a guest on Heart and Soul, I guess it was over the summer, I think July, Beverly Buncher.
Mm-hmm.
And Beverly is a trained True Purpose coach whose specialty is working with people who are in recovery and families of people who are in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking that what you're talking about, the leading lives of quiet desperation or not feeling that something is right or how do you break the cycle, I've got to believe that people who are suffering from addiction handle those very issues and that it would be very easy for them to continue with the yes buts and very challenging, though possible, to break that cycle.
Right. And there's it's very interesting. I'm certainly not a neuroscientist, but there's just some fascinating research and all that's being done around looking at, for instance, when people don't have a dream, that a part of them actually starts to die.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
You know, that's...
wow.
I don't know if I'll get this quote right, but there's a wonderful quote that I heard, and you may be able to help clarify it for me, Jory, but it's something like, most men die at 20 and then they're buried at 60.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Or women. I'm sure most of our listeners
probably sure. So clearly.
So what does that mean? Yeah. What
those
does
would
that
be
mean?
The results. Yeah.
To live 40 years of your life sort of half awake, half dead.
Without a dream, without a vision. So we need to turn that around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would be some of those yes buts that might cause somebody, male or female, to just want to hang it up, you know, not necessarily commit suicide. We're not necessarily talking about that, but just stop having those dreams or feeling that, okay, well, that was a dream of my past, I can't really do that. I can't really lose that weight. I can't really get that job. I can't really get that degree. You know, tell us some of those yes buts.
Sure. Categorically, there's probably a few, and I bet people would say, hey, I have another one I can add to that. But I think there's maybe the first one that overarches all of these would be the yes but of fear. And we can talk more about what that looks like. But the idea that I'm just afraid to do it, I don't have the confidence to do it. And I think that then seeps into a lot of the other ones, things like the yes but of having not enough time, or the yes but of I don't have enough money to do that, or the yes but of I don't have enough to do that. It's kind of the yes but of identity, like I'm not smart enough, I'm not young enough, I'm not old enough, I'm not thin enough, I'm not pretty enough, whatever it might be around that identity.
Okay.
So those are a few that would be a starting point.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what would be the ramifications of that? You know, if you have this, well, yes, but I don't have enough time, yes, but I don't have enough money, yes, but I'm not smart enough. I guess that just throws us back into the cycle of you don't have dreams, you don't have vision, you just stay stuck.
We're back on the hamster wheel.
Yeah. Okay. Well, perhaps we should look at some of those in more detail. Which one would you like to examine?
You know, let's start with fear, because I think that's a big one that really underlies a lot of things. And, you know, that there's an acronym for fear that most people have heard, and that's false expectations appearing real. And so kind of looking at what are the fears. And so I would encourage people that, again, within the context of what's the dream that's been on the back burner, what's the life with no regrets, if you start looking then at what are the fears that you have about going for that. And it could be things like, I'm afraid that the new work I want to do will require some painful sacrifices on my part. I'm afraid of that. Or I worry that I'm not going to have what I need to make that transition. I'm not going to have the connections I need, or I'm not going to have the, quote, serendipitous moments unfold that will help me with that. Or I'm afraid that other people will have negative opinions about where I'm going and what I'm doing. You're probably familiar with Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Dream Giver.
Yes.
And in that book, he refers to the people who are either the border busters or the border bullies. We all know what our little borders are, right?
Yeah.
And we have people in our lives who keep us in those little borders and are going to be uncomfortable if we break out of them, because that's going to change their life or their relationship with us in some way. And so they're afraid of that. So they're offering these negative opinions. And I think we need to have in our lives those border buster people. I like to refer to them as bone marrow people. And those bone marrow people are the people who give you life. They sustain you. They remind you of who you are meant to be. They're people like you, Jory, and Beth.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah. So, and sometimes just that fear of, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. And so we have to really look at, as coaches, both of you and I know this process of helping people step into their future self and look for the places in their life where there's already been provision and evidence that they can take the next step. And it saddens me that we as adults start to stop growing and stretching and learning when it's so expected of us all the way through elementary, junior, high school, college. You know, we're just expected to learn new things. And then there's something that happens, I think, whether it's a subtle societal message or something, that we're just not as programmed to continue to do things that we hadn't done in the past in our adult years.
Well, sadly, I think some of that comes with responsibility of making money, putting bread on the table. You know, I'm envisioning the single mother who has the responsibility of going to work, maybe trying to take in a class that will help her put money on the table, you know, I mean, food on the table with their income. The responsibilities, I think, would be some of that, but not all. I mean, think of all the people who settle into routines of watching TV instead of reading and broadening their minds, as an example.
And that's a great example, and thank you for mentioning that. And that can, with all complete respect and concern and empathy for those people who are struggling with difficult situations right now,
may I
add a story that, well, I mentioned the Dream Giver book. I'll just go back to that for a second. There's a story in that book that Bruce tells. And he was sitting with a Hollywood producer in Los Angeles in a little diner. And he was talking about the concept for his book at the time. It had not yet been written. And he told the producer that he felt like everybody had a dream and that God had given everybody a dream. So he's coming from a God perspective on this. And so the producer says, I don't know about that. What about that waitress over there? What about our waitress? Do you think she's got a dream? And Bruce said, well, let's ask her. And so the waitress comes over, and she's ready to take the order, and Bruce, you know, completely redirects the conversation and says, do you have a dream? You know, what's your dream? And she's taken aback, and he engages her in conversation, and she starts talking, and she says, well, I'm a single mom. This is what reminded me of your story. I'm a single mom, and I've always thought about going back and being a nurse. And so Bruce asked her a few more questions, and the conversation unfolded, and we learned that she didn't have the child care to be able to go back to school and support her, you know, help take care of her child during that time. And so Bruce said, well, who in your life might be able to help you with that? And she thought for a second, and she said, oh my gosh, my mom is retiring in 3 months, and she would love to help me with child care. And so, end of story. Just wrapping that up, I think what we need to look for is that if indeed life has planted those dreams in our heart, or God has planted those dreams in our heart, they're there for a reason. The Word tells us that planned in advance are things that God has prepared for us to do.
Right.
So again, whether you're a God believer or not, there is some sort of a plan.
Yeah.
and we need to listen to those dreams, because they're clues on this journey as to what it is that we're meant to do with our lives. And if those dreams have been planted, I guarantee you, I would bet my daughter's life on this, that there is provision for what it is you're supposed to do, whether it be childcare, or whether it be the finances, or whether it be the time.
Wow.
Oh, I sound like I'm preaching.
That's okay.
I'm up on my soapbox here.
That's okay. So that goes to what that little story that you were just saying, what I was alluding to, goes to the yes but of fear, the yes but of, I guess, finances. You know, I don't think I'd be able to afford it.
Yeah.
All those things that can tend to hold us back. And what you're saying is, if you have a dream, then there is the provision there somewhere. We just need to be creative sometimes.
Yeah.
And maybe we can't attend the university that we wanted to because it's private, but gosh darn it, perhaps we can get a scholarship or go to a community college or something, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, sometimes you just have to look for a different way.
Right, and let's go to the finances, because that's a big one for a lot of people. And so sometimes there's a concern, I'm going to have to take a cut in pay, or I don't have... or I'm going to have to lower my lifestyle, or I just don't have the money to do that. Again, when that dream is planted, there is planted with it the provision for what you need. And I'll tell a personal story about myself here. A number of years ago, I had an opportunity to buy a business that I would add to my existing business, my existing coach training business. And it came at a time when I had absolutely no reserves and not an extra two nickels to rub together. And I really thought long and hard about the opportunity. And it was funny, at first I didn't want to do it. Have you ever had one of those situations where you say, no thanks, I'll pass, so, you know, not in a million years? And then as I thought more about it, my heart began to change, and I realized, you know, this is really the right move for me. And then my yes buts kicked in, and I said, but I don't have enough money for the down payment. I don't have enough time to do it. I don't have, I just went on and on and on with my yes buts. Well, we're going to focus just on the finances here for a minute. So once I made the commitment and I realized this was something really important that I needed to do as a part of my career and my work, all of a sudden I stopped looking and I started seeing the provision.
Wow.
Okay, I think that's a key piece, is stop looking and start seeing. And about that time, I got in the mail... I hate to admit this. I got in the mail one of those credit card offers, and, you know, I got you know, we get a lot of those coming through frequently. Well, this one was like incredible. It was 0% interest for, I think, 12, 18 months. It was just one of those unreal. And I thought, wow, that could give me my down payment. Mm. And I don't necessarily recommend, you know, buying a business on a credit card.
On a credit card, right.
But I knew that I was supposed to do this. I just had such confirmation in other places. And I don't encourage people to go out and do something that really feels like way out in left field. I went and I talked to a CPA that specializes in purchasing businesses. I talked to mentors. I talked to a number of people. I did my research and did some due diligence.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so I think you need to have things kind of grounded as well. But so I ended up using the credit cards for my down payment. And then once I bought the business, I had the cash flow to be able to pay back the credit cards and also be able to make my monthly payments because I bought it on a term basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if you're listening and you think, I don't have the money to do this, start... What's my phrase? Stop looking and start seeing.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that is a good story. Very good. And, of course, it's all turned out great.
Well, and I was actually able to sell the business a little bit later for more money than I purchased it for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, yes, it was the right thing to do. It was a great, great learning experience in provision.
Absolutely.
You know, here's another quick story around that. You probably are familiar with Randy, his last name's going to go, the fellow who died, the Carnegie professor who died from cancer.
Right. I know who you mean, and I can't think of his last name. But he was he going around and talking to people about the live?
The last lecture was his book.
Yes.
And so,
God bless him.
Yeah, and I think after he died, I want to say one of the ABC media people, whether it was Barbara Walters or someone else, interviewed Diane Sawyer, I think, interviewed his wife, and she asked a question, and the response from Randy's wife was so significant, I thought, I've got to memorize that. And the question was something like, what do you do when you look at this situation and you know that he's going to be gone soon, or maybe it was after he died, you know that he's gone, and she said, what do you do? And his wife responded, I tell myself I have everything I need. I tell myself I have everything I need. And so when we tell ourselves, this gets into this neuro-linguistic programming and the brain functions, when we start telling ourselves, I have everything I need, we start being able to see what that is.
Absolutely. And knowing you as I have for quite some time now, I'm thinking that that must be directly related to your life purpose.
It is. I would love for people to help people recognize that they have everything that they need, all of the resources, all of the provision, all of everything that they need for life in order to be able to live a life of significance and a life of success and a life where they just think, wow, I can't believe they pay me to do this. If it's your career, or I can't believe that I get to live the life that I live.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's beautiful, and I love your sense of purpose. I love your passion. I also need to speak up for, I'm sure at least one person is listening to this interview and going, oh, that must be nice for other people, but what about me? You know, how do you encourage somebody who just thinks that it's not within their realm of possibility? Maybe somebody else is, and they're happy for you, they're happy for me, but it's not in their realm of possibility. How do you encourage them, Susan?
Wow. I think one of the first things to start asking yourself is, how well is that thinking serving you? What happens when you start saying that? So... And I say this again with great compassion and empathy, because until I discovered coaching a number of years ago, I was one of these people who, you know, the glass was half empty. And I started to realize that that wasn't serving me well. I was living feeling guilty, like, you know, it's my fault. I've, you know, brought all of this on me and nothing's going to go right, or the worst can happen, or this is never going to work out, or, and I, you know, I had all
these
yes but. Yes. I don't know that I had articulated the yes but that way back then, but so I do speak with compassion in that way. When you really look at what does that self-talk do to you, what does that trigger? What starts happening when you say, it's not for me? Well, then you say, you know, there's not enough for me. You start thinking, I don't, you know, God loves somebody else more than he loves me, or, you know, whatever it might be. When you start thinking those things, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just say, for a week, for a month, give yourself permission to start experimenting with a different way of thinking, and put a time limit on it so that you don't feel like, oh, I can never do this. You
know,
start with a day, start with a week, whatever it might be, and say, anytime I think one of those thoughts, I'm going to look at what is the opposite of that, and what would it look like to live with that belief? How would things be different? So I think that's a starting point.
Good. Good. I have to say, while you were talking, I was reminded of Dr. Phil's famous retort, how's that working out for you?
That's
you know?
Working out for you, right? Yeah.
But I like that you put a positive spin on it, too, is to go ahead and whenever a negative thought comes, just think the opposite and think about how your life would be different if you were living it the opposite way. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just to experiment. And then I think that when you start doing that, then you start to look at seeing things as opposed to looking at things. You start seeing the possibilities. You start seeing the provision. You start seeing that maybe things could be different. And it'll be actually a tiring process, because it's physiologically what's happening is that you're laying down new neural pathways in your brain, and that requires that I don't have all the scientific technical terms for this, but it's like building new muscle. And when when you work out, you get tired. So expect that, and so that you don't discourage yourself in the process and think, oh, this is really hard work. Well, you think, well, yeah, doing your sit-ups is hard work if you haven't been exercising for a while.
Well, of course, that goes to the intent of our show, Heart and Soul Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. You know, expect that times will not always be easy, and then persevere through them with help. It's hard to do it by yourself, but with help.
Absolutely. There's some study out there that talks about that people are 7 times more likely to achieve their goals when they have accountability in place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, whether it be a coach, and I absolutely recommend a coach, because I think a coach goes beyond where a friend might go. A coach can really hold the vision for you. A coach has no vested interest in you staying in the same place or changing, whereas maybe a friend or family member might be a little bit afraid that if you do something different, their life is going to change. So
a coach
really has that objective space to believe that you were created naturally created resourceful and whole and able to do more than perhaps you think that you can do at this moment.
Border busters coming to mind again.
Yes.
Well,
narrow buddies.
There you go. Now, we just mentioned perseverance, and I know that you've been an entrepreneur yourself for 25 years, and I've only stepped out as an entrepreneur for 2.
Yeah.
So tell us how you've persevered. Surely it hasn't all been easy. Can you give us some examples?
Yeah. I can remember early in my career, I've got my refrigerator story, and I live in Fresno, California. Many people know that in the middle of the summer it can be 110 degrees for 30, 40 days in a row, or, you know, easily over 100. So it gets hot. And I was a budding entrepreneur, and I had absolutely no appointments on my calendar, no prospects, no prospective clients coming in for the week. This was back in the days when we, you know, wrote everything out in our little day planner. And my refrigerator died. And I was a single gal, and I had, you know, no extra income coming in from any other place. And I thought, I have to have a refrigerator. This is just not an option. And I, by the end of the week, had enough clients that had come in that allowed me to not only get the refrigerator, but still make my house payment and, you know, get through it. And so I remember those refrigerator days. That was just an $800 refrigerator. And since that time, I face challenges that look closer to $8,000 or sometimes even $80,000 in terms of some of the bills that run through the business now that we have I have a larger business and payroll and some of those things. So there have been some major, major financial challenges along the way. And I remember going to a conference one time when I had literally $12 in my bank account. And I just knew, though, that I had to go there to exhibit so that I could have the exposure to be able to bring people into the coach training program.
Right.
And I knew that getting out and networking was important, and I knew that professional development is critical, and I knew that it would charge me up to be around people.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, we, you know, had the business that came through at the conference exhibiting. So there have been lots of financial challenges. I've certainly had... I told you earlier about buying the new business. Well, back to that, that's a great story in terms of persevering through challenges. I flew halfway across the country to sign papers to buy the business. The night before I got on the plane, my hard drive crashed.
Oh, my.
And so I came back from signing the papers and went through absolutely about 90 days of hell.
Oh, gosh.
Technology murder. I shipped my computer down to some... I didn't have a good backup. I had not been backing up religiously, so, you know, bad me. But I shipped my computer down to a person who was going to fix it and try and recover some of the data. He got some of it back, and I was pleased about that. And when he shipped the computer back to me, I won't mention which company it was, but they lost it.
Oh...
So now my computer is lost. I had two backup laptops. The first one died, and then the second one was slow as molasses in January, and I had Comcast at the time. Comcast, at one point I had two Comcast technicians in my home office for 5 hours straight because they could not figure out what was wrong with my internet connection. It was a nightmare. And in the meantime, I had this new business where I was getting 100, 150 emails a day. It would take me literally 10 minutes to answer one email.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Because of the delay with
you
know, going through the old wired modem version. So that went on for 90 days, just a series of technology
nightmares.
And I went to bed early one afternoon, along about month two and a half, and my husband came home, and I had the covers pulled over my head, and he said, "Are you sick? What's wrong?" And I said, just really feeling sorry for myself, "God has abandoned me."
Aww.
I mean, I just felt like, you know, life was over. It was just such a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, there were things that I hadn't planned on when I had bought the business. You know, all of these things just kind of piled up.
Right.
So that was another big challenge as
yes.
an entrepreneur. So
yes. Yes.
I could go on, but those are just a few stories.
Just a few. So you know, because it's so easy for us to think when we see somebody successful as you are, you know, to think, well, I guess it's just always been easy for them. But you are here to say that is not true.
I am. And, you know, I kind of run the risk of, I got this reputation of being very successful. And mm-hmm. yet the reality is, I've had several months this year where it's been like, am I going to make payroll? It's been a tough year economically with the economy, and I've had some major extra expenses for a number of things that were unplanned. And the reality is that happens even to people that look like they're being totally successful. The difference is the people that I think continue and persevere are looking for the provision. And I'll say that I'm not 100%. A couple of days ago, we had a planning meeting, and my business manager said, we're going to make it. I'm peaceful about this. I'm encouraged about this. My other employee said, you know, this, we're going to be okay. I was just dragging my chin on the floor. And it was just a moment where I didn't trust that the provision was going to be there. And I'm grateful that I don't have to be perfect in my belief. I don't have to be. You don't have to be perfect in your thinking. So
we try, we have the visions, we have the hope, but we shouldn't beat up on ourselves if from time to time we sink down a little bit. And
absolutely.
It doesn't mean that we are totally diseased with the yes buts. It just means that we're having, you know, a little bit of a downtime sometime, and that happens.
Yeah, I even went over to a girlfriend's. It was Monday night, a couple days ago. And I just walked in, and she could tell by the look on my face, and she just hugged me and held me, and I just cried, you know. Yeah. And I just blathered on about, you know, how challenging things were and whatever. And, you know, now 2 days later, it's a completely different day. There was enough money to meet the payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend called me and said, how you doing today? And I said, you know what? I'm ashamed. And she said, what? I said, I'm ashamed that I didn't believe that once again, and from my perspective, that God would once again come through. And, you know, but I don't beat myself up about it.
No,
don't. I'm normal.
Absolutely not.
And
absolutely
I share that. That's kind of a vulnerable thing to share, but I share it because that's when it's so important to have those bone marrow people who are going to speak comfort and truth and encouragement into your life, because we cannot do it alone. We cannot do it alone.
We can't.
If you think that you can,
no,
you're lying to yourself.
And Susan, we've had, I can tell from looking at the switchboard, we've had some new people join us. So say again what you mean by bone marrow people, because that might strike people kind of strange.
Sure. The bone marrow people are those people who just really contribute life into you. They speak truth. They speak hope. They speak encouragement. They speak just the things that need to be spoken so that you can be all that you were meant to be.
And you are definitely one of those people in my life, Miss Susan, so thank you for that.
My honor.
Well, we need to move on, but what I would love for you to do is give, you know, maybe one or two suggestions for people. We always have a coaching suggestion for our listeners so that our guests or Beth and I can help them integrate the information that we have been shared, that has been shared on the radio.
Great.
So what would you suggest? And if you don't have a lot of time right now, perhaps I could just put them on my website later. But what would you have?
That would be great. Yeah, I can add some things and you can upload that later. I guess maybe an exercise would be good. And so first, start by writing out what it is that you really, really want in life. And if you're not sure what that is, write out what you don't want. And then once you see what you don't want, do a 180 on that. It's a work in progress, and you can add to it later. But get something down, started on paper. And then put that somewhere that you can, so you can remind yourself about it. And then I would just ask yourself to do sort of an awareness exercise for about a week or so. I call it the My Favorite Martian. You remember the old television program, and he had the little bean ears or something, the little antennae up.
Right.
Have your antennae up and start noticing the self-talk that you have about those things that you really want. And it may be that you've got some positive things about it, like I can do this. But it may be that you've got some yes buts. And I just encourage you, don't beat yourself up about having the yes buts. Just simply write them down and be aware of them for a few days. Don't do it for too long, because if you do it for too long, then that self-talk starts to lay down those neural pathways
that
you know, are not in the direction you want to go. And then once you write them down after your baseline for a few days, then start looking at changing your yes buts to yes and.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, then you start looking at, and this is what I might do. So if you've got the need, like the waitress that we talked about earlier, said, I don't have childcare to go back and become a nurse, start looking at who could help with those things? What are the resources that I need? And just simply identifying the resources that you need then help you to start realizing, well, maybe this option would work or this option would work.
Right.
So that would be an exercise just to start the process.
Excellent.
There are steps after that, but that would be a starting point.
Okay, good. Thank you, thank you. I'm sure our listeners will appreciate that, as do I. Well, Susan, I just want to tell our listeners that we truly want Heart and Soul to be an experience that is co-created. So Beth and I know she's going to feel so sad that she wasn't able to be part of this interview, but I assure you that she will listen to you, Susan. But Beth and I invite our listeners to join us each week live or by listening to our archives, to participate in our discussions by typing questions and comments in the online chat room or calling us at 347-326-9296. And pressing 1 to raise your hand if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, to try out our guest suggestions, and to send your suggestions for topics and guest speakers to Jory@womenfindpurpose.com or BessGanzani@AOL.com. Right now, Susan, I just want to give a word about next edition of Heart and Soul. On December 8th, Beth and I will interview Marge Pacini, an executive life coach, certified dream coach, and trained true purpose coach. Marge helps women rediscover and reclaim their authenticity, who they really are. You'll hear Marge describe how this reconnection is an essential step towards living the life of your dreams, one with meaning, fulfillment, and joy. You can learn more about Marge at her website, margepiccini.com. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We have a few minutes, and I just want to encourage you to press 1 if you've called in. I can see that some people have. Press 1 if you would like to make a comment or ask a question. And just want to ask Susan if you would be so kind as to give us a quote for the day.
Okay, I love quotes. Here's one by John Pierpont Morgan. It is: the first step towards getting somewhere is to decide that you are not going to stay where you are.
That's fantastic. And who is that again? I can say his name, John Pierpont?
Pierpont Morgan. Morgan, yes.
Okay, that's wonderful.
J.P. Morgan, yes.
Great. And Susan, just want you to know that we're getting nice comments in the chat room that this was a fantastic show and people appreciate your being so honest and vulnerable. It's really nice. Really, really nice. Well, good. Well, Susie, you know what I haven't asked you to do is to state how people can get in touch with you.
Sure. So as you know, that I provide career coach training and certification, and if people are interested in that, or if they have questions about something that I've brought up, I feel like if you want to debate or further some of the questions that we've talked about, you can contact me, Susan@CareerCoachAcademy.com, Susan@CareerCoachAcademy.com, or my phone is 877-659-3769.
Thank you. And would you repeat that phone number again?
Yeah, phone is 877-659-3769.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Well, Susan, if you had to sum up your key points, well, not if you had to, I'm going to ask you to. Would you be so kind as to sum up your key points from the interview today?
Again, get the carrot first. Don't beat yourself up about having yes buts in your life, but start looking at what is the divine destiny? What am I meant to do? What's the bigger picture that perhaps I haven't even given myself permission to think about?
Mm-hmm.
And then look at the yes buts. Recognize that everybody's going to have them. If you don't have them, there's probably something wrong. You're not human. And then start looking at looking rather than seeing. And I would really encourage you to partner with a trained coach who can help with that process, and so that you can really persevere and sustain that forward progress.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. And Susan, I think this is a good time to point out that you and I have both been through the True Purpose process, and we find that it is a marvelous way to help people find out who it is they're called to be and what it is that they're designed to do.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I invite everybody, all of our listeners, to please visit my website at womenfindpurpose.com to find out more about my coaching and consulting services and to access all of our Heart and Soul archives, including my interview of Susan on mistakes job seekers make, and that was back in October 2009. Each week, I post the coaching suggestions of our guests as well as their quotes and bios, so I'll be doing that for you, Susan. And everybody, please know that you may email me at Jory, J-O-R-Y, at womenfindpurpose.com or Beth at BethGanzani at AOL.com if you would like to share your questions, ideas, or comments with us, or if you'd like to receive our weekly announcements of upcoming shows on Heart and Soul. Well, Susan, thank you so much. God bless you. We really appreciate you being with us today.
Oh,
and I hope to have you again in 2011. This is becoming an annual event.
I see that. I love it.
Well, thank you for listening, everybody. May God bless you and keep you, and may you fully become the person you're designed to be with not too many yes buts in your life.
With thank yes you, hands Susan. In your life.
That's right, with yes ands, exactly. Well, thank you, everyone, and happy holidays if we don't see you, but we will be back here again next week and hope you will join us. Take care. Bye-bye.